As we both know, because we are both there, Venom opens this week, which stars the remarkable Tom Hardy, a man who has been burning a trail through theater and through theaters, as in movie theaters, for 15 years now, something like that. Let's talk about some of the movies that we would recommend you watch at home instead of going to see Venom.
Still searching for cinematic thrills and always full of opinions. It's the Cube Critics.
I actually didn't mind Venom that much. It was just that there's so many great superhero movies that this one feels a little thin.
Yes.
And they Riz Ahmed as the bad guy didn't have much to do except wear spectacular little zip sweaters.
nice clothes.
But there wasn't. He wasn't a compelling bad guy, but Tom Hardy is just such a deeply weird-seeming actor who throws himself into a part. And the scene in the restaurant, there's a scene in a restaurant in Venom that is a perfect Tom Hardy moment where he's playing a man who's worried about his life and the future of the planet, but also playing a man infected by an alien that's really, really hungry and only wants to eat live things like humans and is very hot. And watching Tom Hardy do that was astonishing. It just reminds me how much I love him, because he is a very conventionally handsome man who, if he got his teeth fixed, would be just like old Hollywood star kind of looks. And he just doesn't care about that. He's never going to fix that snaggle tooth of his. His teeth are permanently yellow. There's so many actors where if they put them in a period piece, it's their white perfect teeth that give them away.
Yeah.
You know, that they kind of have to go and use CGI to ruin them.
You
don't have to do that with Tom Hardy, because he's never going to fix his teeth, people. And that's one of the things I love about him. He's a handsome guy, and he doesn't play like the handsome leading actor. He's a weird, deeply weird character actor.
But he's a chameleon, too, because I have actually seen him in a number of movies, and it's I've had to do a double take. I think, is that him? Who is that? And it's Tom Hardy.
Yeah, he can look tiny. He can look pumped up and gigantic. I have no idea how big this guy is. 5 feet tall? 6 feet tall? I'm not sure. He just looks different all the time.
And, of course, he was when he was in The Dark Knight Rises, when he played, what was that, Bane?
Yeah, Bane. His face was covered up the whole time.
Yeah, but you were left with the impression that this was basically the identical twin brother of the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Just ginormous. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's that big.
No. Anyway, what do you recommend?
My favorite, I think, and I will say this, I actually carry a burden. I feel guilty about this.
Why?
For years, I wanted to watch Bronson, which was in a way, his breakout role. Mm-hmm. And it was there on Netflix, but I knew it was really violent, and so I couldn't watch it with my beloved because
she does not like that.
It's going to be over.
Not her thing.
And now I went to look for it the other night, and it's not there anymore. Oh, well.
Well, I mean, it's still available.
It's still available, yes. So, but
one can still see it.
One day I'm going to see that. But Legend.
Oh, yeah.
Which is based on the true story of identical twin brothers, the Cray brothers, Reggie and Ronnie, who ran the London underworld in the 1960s, just as London was becoming the London of the swinging 60s. And they were horrible, horrible people. Quite remarkable, though, what they did, the way that they actually took control of the city through some very smart moves, but also just being incredibly violent. And Tom Hardy plays both of the twins.
Mm-hmm.
They're identical twins, but they actually look quite different. And this film is riveting, because you have one of the twins who is kind of dapper, he's good with the ladies, and, you know, quite charming. He's the kind of the public face of the twins. And then they have the other one who was actually later diagnosed as being a psychopath, who is extremely violent and has some very unfortunate sexual interests too, and just terrifies everyone. So the thing that's great about this, about Legend, is the way that he creates these two completely separate characters and plays them on screen against himself, even though he isn't there. And apparently when he was actually making the movie, he would shoot all, if they're doing a scene, he would shoot all the parts with one person, and then he would leave because he didn't want to be on set out of character. He would leave and get changed into the other one and come back. And the crew said it was like another person had walked in the room. It was just extraordinary. So it's a wonderful, wonderful film.
He's apparently a pain in the ass on film sets because of that. Like, people are impressed, but Charlize Theron found it unbearable that he tried to stay in character as Mad Max all the time. She thought it was ridiculous.
Well, these things happen.
All right. Have you seen Warrior?
I have not.
Warrior is so good. Warrior is a story about two brothers, one of whom is a war veteran, and he plays the war veteran, and they're both ultimate fighters. And that seems ridiculous, that this movie about brothers in the ultimate fighting world who have to fight each other. It sounds like a silly, silly thing. It is not. It is a really moving story about survival and mental health and manhood and being macho and what men have to do to survive in the United States and the narrow roles that men get to play in the United States. And also there's some really awesome fighting in there too. Which I'm all for.
Awesome.
I love
fighting.
A boxing movie or a fighting movie. Warrior is great. And one of the things I like about Tom Hardy is that even when he's being pumped up and macho, he's always got this sensitivity and this kind of like, I don't know, just a deep weirdness to him. So it's never going to be, you know, if Tom Cruise had been one of these guys, he wouldn't have wanted to play the character. Like, let's have it be, I want to be warm and I want to be, have no chinks in my armor. And he's all about he and like Russell Crowe, where they keep, they just want to show a traditional view of masculinity. And Tom Hardy is willing to undercut that and place doubts and really makes it so much more interesting. He's so willing not to be macho. And I love that about him. And I really like Warrior. It's a great movie.
I wanted to talk about the way that he can make a film when he only has a bit part.
Mm-hmm.
As a supporting actor role, and you know, he was in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy,
mm-hmm.
where he had that very small role, but boy, it was electrifying. But the one in particular I wanted to talk about was Dunkirk.
Oh yeah,
where I kind of remember somebody said to me, "Yeah, he's in eye acting because he plays an RAF pilot who is flying over the evacuation, trying to." Help, you know, keep away the German fighters. And so he's basically, for most of the film, he is in the plane. He can't move around much.
And yet,
somehow, he becomes one of the most engaging characters in the entire film. Now, as you may remember, I had problems with that film.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just extraordinary as he's working his magic, trying to work out how he can protect as many people as possible, but also realizing that he only has one tank of fuel and he's up there for a long, long time, and what's he going to do about it, even as he's watching his friends get shot down right about him. It's just extraordinary.
Yeah, it's amazing that he can pull that off. There's a movie that's a deeply flawed movie, and yet it's still worth it because of his performance. Have you seen The Drop?
No.
The Drop was based on a Dennis Lehane book, and then there was I think Dennis Lehane wrote the screenplay. He's a thriller writer who wrote Gone Baby Gone, and what else did he write?
Mystic River.
Mystic River, thank you. That's it. And this one is about a bartender who gets the mob kind of runs a bar. It's set in Boston, as Dennis Lehane often has his movies set in. And he plays, this bartender is at the center of a robbery gone awry. There's some missing money. He's responsible for it. He wants nothing to do with it. And then someone hurts his dog, and he's not okay with that.
Yeah.
And so everything kind of goes to hell. I suppose I can say goes to hell, can't I? It's not on. I'm allowed to say that. It goes to hell, people. I hate to be so lurid and colorful in my language, but everything goes to hell. And Tom Hardy, I don't know where he gets these ideas for some of his characters. And he just doesn't want to be the nice guy at the center of the movie. Instead, he's kind of mumbly and weird. And he could have just been like a handsome guy. You can imagine like this character being played by Paul Newman behind the bar, looking good, charismatic. And then you slowly learn things about him that make you like question who he is. Instead, he's just this shambling weirdo who's mumbling on screen. And it reminds me of, oh, what's his name? Mr. Sicario mumbly actor.
What, Benicio del Toro?
Yes. He's got a lot in common with Benicio del Toro, where they both could have, you know, kind of played the straight, handsome guy. Benicio del Toro is kind of weird looking, kind of handsome. And he could have gone toward the handsome slick route. Instead, he just decides to, like, fade into the back and like wobble around and just, I'm going to have this character have a broken toe, so I'm going to walk this way the whole time. And you can go too far with that.
Scares the crap out of
you. Exactly. And then you don't even realize how much they're holding back. And then they just have this reserve of energy that explodes on the screen. So the drop, seriously flawed. It's not one of my favorite movies, but I do love Tom Hardy's performance in it. And you know what? When you're sitting at home at night, you just want to watch a movie that's like a mystery that you haven't seen before. That is where, you know, like when I was telling people whether to go to the theater or not, like, dude, don't go to the theater and pay money to see the drop. But Netflix or Amazon, and if it's there and it's free, man, totally worth it.
Go for it.
Good to see dog-centered movies sometimes. Don't hurt the dog.
You go one more.
No, that's it. The drop.
Oh, the drop. Okay.
That's it. The drop. And then what was the other one I talked about? It was Warrior.
Warrior, yes.
Jeez. There's just so many. I was like, is it Lawless? No, it's not Lawless. I couldn't think of what it was. That's it. We're done.
No.
Yes,
two
each. That's it.
No. We're serious crime being missed here.
No. Because... Don't even say it.
Yeah.
You already talked about Dunkirk and Legend. You don't need to talk about how amazing Locke is.
Yes. Yeah, I was just waiting for you to say...
Let it go.
If you watch one Tom Hardy movie.
Oh, that's what the standard is? Just one? Then don't watch The Drop. I was trying to think of things you might not have seen.
Yeah. Watch Locke.
Holy cow.
One of the most...
A man and a bunch of people talking to him on a phone.
In a car
at night.
It's not even a phone.
It's a speakerphone in the car.
In his car. And you think, how boring and tedious would that be? And it is one of the most watchable films I have seen in years.
It is riveting. All hail Tom Hardy, acting with just his eyes, acting with nobody there except a speakerphone, and in Venom, acting as if he's possessed by an alien, while also trying to get his ex-girlfriend back while the alien is telling him to chomp off people's heads. He's incredible.